1330 WHBL, Sheboygan. News, talk, sports. A service of Midwest Communications. Now, from the WHBL newsroom, here's Mike Kinzel and Rusty Melberg.
Good afternoon. At 12 noon, Rusty, we're at 78 degrees.
Radar is dry at the moment, but scattered showers and thunderstorms expected later on this Tuesday. Well,
there was a bomb threat yesterday at the Walgreens store in the city of Plymouth, and it's similar to one that occurred in Oconomowoc yesterday afternoon. Plymouth police said a male caller told employees at the Walgreens to give him the money or a bomb would go off. Chief Jeff Tauschik said the store was evacuated, searched, nothing found, and then reopened. Meanwhile, a similar situation yesterday in Oconomowoc. More on the story now from Eric Milstead.
It was chaos.
Jim Snyder knew something was wrong when local police were joined by the Milwaukee Bomb Squad at a tactical situation Monday afternoon at a 7-Eleven near Wisconsin and Brown Street.
I've never seen so many squads down here so fast.
Police were responding to an anonymous call that came into the 7-Eleven demanding the manager load cash onto a prepaid card. If he didn't comply, a bomb would go off. Law enforcement searched the area and found nothing. Police believe this could be tied to a nationwide scam.
For WHBL News, I'm Eric Grillert.
In other news, a Sheboygan man is facing up to 40 years in prison for allegedly sexually assaulting a 15-year-old girl he met through social media. 31-year-old Stephen Barr was arrested last week for the incident, which occurred on July 12th. According to the criminal complaint, the victim told police she had communicated with Barr through a phone app called Whisper. She had posted her picture, and he spotted her in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot on South Business Drive and coerced her into his pickup truck and then drove her to his house on Ashland Avenue, where he allegedly had sexual contact with her. He later dropped her off in an area near her home, and that's when she contacted police, which touched off an investigation focusing on the victim's cell phone. When police contacted him last Wednesday, Barr said he wanted a lawyer, and he was arrested.
The House Judiciary Committee holding a hearing today examining its oversight of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, with Agency Director Leon Rodriguez testifying. In his opening statement, the committee chairman, Bob Goodlatte, referenced the crisis at the U.S.'s southwestern border, took a shot at President Obama.
Your appearance comes at a time when Americans are feeling the repercussions of the illegal immigration crisis on the southwest U.S. border. Of course, if President Obama took seriously his duty to secure the U.S. border and enforce laws against illegal immigration, there would be no such crisis.
Children from Central American countries have been crossing the border illegally by the tens of thousands, many of them unaccompanied, and one local political candidate weighing in on that one today.
That's right. State Senator Glenn Grothman says closing the border and reforming the immigration system in America is a matter of national security. And the candidate for the 6th Congressional District has proposed a 5-point plan to address the immigration crisis on the southern border. Grothman said, "We are the most free and prosperous nation in the world, and lots of people want to come here, but unfortunately some of them are enemies of freedom and prosperity and want to harm our country." Grothman's plan includes addressing the issue of children born to illegal immigrants being granted citizenship. He calls that absurd.
Four people currently trying to win the Republican spot on the ballot for the 59th Assembly seat being vacated by Dan LeMahieu. One of them is Jesse Kremer of Kewaskum, a pilot and jack of all trades. He has never held public office before, but he wants to make the state an example for the entire nation by continuing the work Republicans have done since gaining control of Madison in 2011.
I would like to put, you know, Wisconsin on a pedestal and keep the conservative values and the moving in the state and really show everyone how it's done.
Kremer on Sheboygan's Morning News acknowledging this morning that all candidates in the primary are conservatives, but believes he's different by having proposed certain plans to address some of the state's top issues.
I've got a blueprint for education reform in Wisconsin on our website. Last week we issued a welfare reform idea that we'd like to look into. So we've been putting ideas out there.
Kremer facing Bill Savage, Ralph Prescott, and Timothy Ramthun in that August 12th primary.
Sticking with campaign news, Governor Scott Walker claims his latest ad that his challenger Mary Burke might have cost Wisconsin taxpayers $25 million. However, the figure has come into question after the AP said the Walker's GOP campaign used creative math. Burke ran the former State Commerce Department when it helped attract drug maker Abbott Laboratories in Pleasant Prairie in Kenosha County. However, the company never moved from its Illinois headquarters. Now the the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development is ordering the state to pay back a $12.3 million federal grant. The AP notes that Abbott still has time to carry out its original plans, and the grant only has to be paid back if 2,400 jobs are not created in Pleasant Prairie by 2016. Bergskamp denies that she made a bad deal, and they point to a recent comment by Pleasant Prairie Administrator Mike Polakoff in saying the project is still alive.
Well, Gaza's only power plant is offline after an attack by Israeli tanks. As violence there continues, the shelling destroyed several large diesel fuel storage tanks and cut power to much of the city. The power plant, among dozens of high-profile targets being pounded by Israel today in response to continued Hamas rocket fire. Earlier, a missile fired by an Israeli aircraft leveled the home of the former Palestinian prime minister.
And finally, a Plymouth man will spend nearly 8 months in the county jail under the Huber Law for his fourth drunk driving conviction. 51-year-old William Weaver III was sentenced recently by Judge Angela Sukevich. He was ordered to pay fines and fees of over $2,500 with payments of $50 per month to begin in September.
How about that forecast, Rusty?
Chance of showers and thunderstorms scattered about today. High of 75, lows in the 50s tonight. Another chance of rain with highs in the 70s tomorrow.
Currently, it is 78 degrees as we get back to Rush Limbaugh on WHBL. WHBL News Time, now at 12:06.